It's a hot topic. The man who had to say sorry in Parliament yesterday is Climate and Energy Opposition Spokesperson Ted O'Brien, who's on the line. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Richard. How are you going?
Very well, thanks. Happy about the fact that your team, the Broncos, the only undefeated team in the NRL so far. Well done.
Well, I don't want to boast too much, mate. I know your listeners probably don't share my enthusiasm, but thank you. Yeah.
And good luck this weekend. People are saying it's a bit of a beat-up what happened in Parliament yesterday, but seven opposition MPs had to apologise. What exactly happened?
Yeah, so this was... So what happens is once a vote is called in the Parliament, the bells go. And then once the bells stop, the Speaker says something along the lines of close the doors, and that's an indication to the parliamentary staff to like physically close the doors. So if you're in the chamber at the time and the Speaker says close the doors, then you're not meant to leave the chamber. And then I was sort of one of probably about half a dozen who were just, you know, filing out the door, and the Speaker apparently had said close the doors, and sort of unbeknown to us, we sort of walked out, at least to me, and my fault entirely. I should have heard the Speaker say that. I left the door. I went through the door, and sort of that's not acceptable. If the Speaker says close the doors and you're in the chamber, you should stay in there, which is why it is important to, you know, respect the parliamentary procedures and you apologise. I think the other part, though, of this was...
But why did you all rush out? Why didn't people want to participate in the vote?
It just depends on... You don't participate in every vote. It depends on, you know, whether or not the words are sort of like dividing. Are you sort of purposely dividing, putting in hand side positions? You don't attend every single vote. And so that's sort of just what happens. And
okay.
So, you know, that's not... of itself the unusual thing, but you do need to respect the parliamentary sort of processes. But Richard, I think the other part of this, which I can't totally explain because I didn't myself see it, but apparently one of the parliamentary staff who was closing the door, or one of the doors at least, was hurt in the process. And I tell you what, that's, you know, regrettable is too light a word.
Sure.
I mean, you know, anyone who's working in that chamber, no one should be rocking up to work and actually, you know, receive an injury because they're just doing their job right. How that actually happened, to be honest, I can't really tell you because I didn't actually see it myself. But you know, for the person involved, that's not acceptable. No one should be rocking up to work and actually received, especially in the Parliament, right? So I think the person was closing one of the doors and. Between the door and people trying to get out or something. So, but I can't really tell you a lot about
fair enough.
Eyes, you know what I mean.
Okay. But seven of you were in the naughty cupboard there for a while yesterday, Ted.
Indeed.
Okay. Now, look, the purpose, you've had a bit to say about the safeguard mechanism. The Labor government, who said they wouldn't do any deals with the Greens, did to get the new safeguard mechanism through. And you think it's going to have dire consequences for the country. Why is that, Ted?
Richard, it's basically a new tax that will be put on some of our largest manufacturers and some of our largest businesses. Now, most of those businesses will just pass that extra cost on to their consumers. And the deal that they've done with now the Greens, so Labor and the Greens have done a new deal, and it just makes it even worse, unfortunately.
Why does it make it worse?
Because it puts a cap, like a hard cap, on how many tonnes of emissions can actually go into the atmosphere. Now, this is different because what it means is it puts a hard cap on growth. So basically, if you hit the hard cap and you say, okay, that's as many emissions that can come from businesses, and you're a business, and you say, well, you know what, I want to set up a new facility next door, a new factory. Well, the government has the right to say, no, you can't. You can't do that anymore because we've hit our cap. So it basically is putting a cap on economic growth. And if you're a business, you're wanting to invest in a large manufacturing facility, a lot of this money is international money too, right? you're not going to invest in Australia because it caps whether or not you can grow, and your money will go elsewhere. Now, often the money.
But surely, you know, if you employ measures to reduce your emissions or buy offsets, you can still grow.
Yes, but if you look at the level of emissions they're wanting to be reduced,
what is it?
They're the biggest in the world.
4.9% a year.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And I have not. I haven't met with any business who's saying they're actually going to be able to pull that off in terms of abatement. They might be. Some businesses might be able to pay for offsets, but they themselves reducing. That's going to be tough. So people buy offsets. And when they do, this is where they just pass it through, right? So if you've got to buy heaps of offsets, you cop it as a business, you just add it to your price. And so someone who's sort of laying a slab at home or buying aluminium windows at home or whatever, the price just goes up because the business then recoups the tax. And this is a problem, right? It's the coalition's never seen this as being the right way to reduce emissions. Emissions have to come down. But our belief has always been you've got to work with industry to get the right technology to actually reduce emissions.
All right, okay, but I think it was the Abbott Liberal government back in 2014 that first came up with the safeguard mechanism. It was implemented in 2016, but as we've seen, emissions have increased since then, so it obviously wasn't working.
Well, what Labor has done with it, especially with the Greens, is, Richard, they've made it into something completely different. They've been very clever. Because you're right, they've taken a mechanism the coalition first created, but all
which obviously wasn't very effective.
Well, it was doing its job. I mean, its job was not to tax. Its job was to work with industry to get emissions down, and it was doing the job. So Labor has imported a taxation regime that is in place in Europe right now, and it hasn't worked. This is the problem. They've gone down a pathway that has proven not to work. We had an approach which was using technology to reduce emissions. But you're right in one regard. We were never taxing businesses. That wasn't our game. What they've done is they've turned our mechanism into a taxation regime. And that's why we've been very...
Well, it's only a taxation regime if people don't meet the targets.
And businesses are saying they're not going to be able to meet the target, therefore they're going to have to pay for it. And that's
okay,
why they...
Okay, and your argument is, though, that if they do, they'll pass that on to consumers, so it's going to increase energy prices.
Or they'll close their doors, right?
Okay.
Some manufacturers will close the doors, others will just pass it on, and people see that in their fuel prices, energy prices, grocery prices, building materials. That's where it'll end up. We'll all pay for it. And I don't think that's the right way to reduce emissions.
All right, okay. Another aspect, Adam Band obviously pretty happy about the deal they've done with the government. He tweeted, the Greens have stopped many of the 116 coal and gas projects in the pipeline from proceeding, and you obviously don't think that's a good thing.
No, I don't. I don't. I mean, and basically the Labor government has outsourced Australia's energy security to the Greens. And if anyone in Australia thinks that's a smart idea, well, good luck.
All right. Look, I mentioned a moment ago, Tim Buckley, he's the Clean Energy Finance Director. He said the impact of the safeguard mechanism on the Australian consumer is almost immaterial. He said extreme weather events had a much greater impact on an Australian business's bottom line, and he cited $8.5 billion in losses caused by the flooding last year as a good example.
Look, Richard, you know, it's a bit of an odd thing to compare.
I mean, he's saying the impact of those things has affected the price of everything, supply chain, etc. Much bigger impact on the cost of living than any possible increase caused by this safeguard mechanism.
I don't know what his point is.
He's saying we're already copping it now, but it's extreme weather events, not the safeguard mechanism. That's, you know, these things are going to cause more of an issue as far as costs go than, he's saying it's going to be bugger all. But
I think it's a stretch of an argument. So
yeah,
if anybody says it's not going to cost, ask them this question: how much is it going to cost? Because here's the problem: the government has not done any economic modelling. I mean, think about that, right? So this is the single signature policy of the Albanese government to reduce emissions They say it's going to completely change the economy. They haven't even gotten Treasury or the Department to do any economic modelling. So someone who tells you it's not going to have an impact, well, yeah, okay, tell us. Show us the modelling.
Right.
My view is going on businesses I'm talking to who are telling me and showing me their modelling. And I tell you, it's going to have an impact and it's going to drive up prices.
Okay. Now, a couple of quick questions. Sure. Liddell Power Station closes, as I understand it, on the 28th of next month, the 28th of April. So it's, you know, it's only a few weeks away. Chris Minns intimated in the lead up to the New South Wales election they might even consider buying it back. Do you think they should intervene to keep Liddell open?
Well, I don't know if Liddell is at a state now as an asset where you can keep it open.
Well, it's just about all shut down now, isn't it? It's most of
Yeah. And this is the thing, like, you know, I mean, I'm from a commercial background, Richard, so I think about it thinking, well, I reckon that asset might be at the point. I don't know what it would cost if you wanted to keep the old girl running, basically. So, but certainly when we were in government, we did negotiate an extension of Liddell. Because we wanted to make sure the Kurri Kurri plant was sort of, you know, ready to go by then, but that's another story and Labor's botched that one. But I think right now Liddell starts closing actually in the next couple of weeks. I think it's all going to close by the 28th, but start through the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I think it might be too late to be saying.
Okay. All right. Look, and look, the other issue, and a number of people rang in this morning, you know, pointing out that we use about 18% of the gas that's extracted in Australia. And I replayed this little snippet from Ian McFarlane, who's now the boss of the Queensland Minerals Council.
There is not a shortage of gas. Let's get that right on the table right from the start. There is plenty of gas in the domestic market for domestic suppliers.
Is there a gas shortage for the domestic market?
If you look at the latest report of the market operator and also the ACCC, they basically say that we are looking down at a gas shortfall. There's a risk going to be in winter this year, but it depends how cold it is. But then where it's going to be really bad is 2026, 2027. One of the issues we do have is getting gas around Australia. So it's not just a matter of is there gas in Australia, but do we have the pipelines to get it to where it's needed? And that's the additional problem we have. But because Labor's taken both coal and gas out of the capacity mechanism, which is like an insurance scheme to keep it in the system, then it is inevitable with the price caps they've got, the mandatory code on gas, all these interventions. We've had companies come out saying they are not going to be investing as much as they were going to. That's why we're looking at a potential shortfall.
All right, but do you think we should be looking for more gas?
Absolutely. I think we should be unlocking gas basins across the country. Unashamedly.
All right, good to talk to you. Good luck to the Broncos. Good luck to the Broncos this weekend.
Yeah, mate. I think it's the Tigers this weekend, so we'll see how we go.
Oh, well, it's the only unbeaten team against the only team that hasn't won a game so far.
Yeah, I don't want to deal fate, so we'll wait and see. But
all right. Thanks for your time. Have a good day. Ted O'Brien, who's the Opposition Energy and Climate Change spokesperson on the Safeguard Mechanism, he reckons it's an absolute disaster. Many people think it's a good thing.